it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll give you our Friday Chiefs parlay here on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey, who was the sole culprit of failing the parlay last week.
Yes, I was.
What's your parlay this week? Eagles money line?
No.
Mac Roseman over there on the ones and twos. Bob Veach. And then I'll just go by Dusty Likens or Tom Brady. That's what Mitch called me. So not my words, his. Some news yesterday that we saw. We'll have Harold Kuntz out here in a little bit, about 9:15 for the roundtable. One of many out there yesterday showing the videos of one Xavier Worthy wrapped up his, his right arm? Is that the arm that it is, I believe?
Yep. Yep.
He's in sweatpants, a jersey, a helmet. I'll say this. Don't believe he's going to play Sunday. I was wrong that he'd be out the entire year. It just looked devastating. He looked like roadkill when he got hit by Travis Kelce. And now he's practicing. So a positive take. I give you guys credit to tell me to, you know, tamper my expectations. A very positive sign to see him just out there, I think, is where you take this. Because now you're looking at maybe he's ready for Sunday night against the Giants. If you think you can win without him, maybe he's ready for that big old Baltimore Ravens game that's in 2 weeks as well, that you could have him for that. Because this is a gauntlet of the first half of the season. We talked to Tyrann Mathieu earlier. He said the biggest weakness of the Chiefs right now is not having Rashee Rice.
Yeah, and I think, you know, from an offensive standpoint, Rashee Rice allows you to do so many different things. I mean, and he's one of your great wide receivers. I remember what was a year ago before the injury, we were talking about how the Chiefs expect him. They say he could potentially be the best wide receiver in franchise history, right? He was kind of on that way. Then he was injured last year. Now he's suspended for 6 games. We'll pick up this conversation in a year, I would imagine, right? But he is a difference maker out there. I mean, he does. He clears out that middle. He gives Travis help, helps out the running game. Like Rashee Rice is a big loss for this team right now. That's why it's imperative to try to get Xavier Worthy out there. But they're not going to do anything stupid. It will be a game time decision on Xavier Worthy, but they're kind of like, wow, I'm surprised he's really out here right now, right? I think the way that it looked versus the result is completely different. Like if Travis Kelce had hit Jawan Taylor like that, we're probably not having the same result. He just happened to hit like the smallest guy in the NFL, and he's one of the bigger guys out there on the field. So it looked like this massive collision that took place, and immediately everybody thought the worst. And then we kind of calmed down a little bit and assessed the situation, and then he's out there practicing. But he will be a game time decision. This can be up to Andy Reid, up to Brett Veach, you know, up to the guys that are in charge to decide whether or not he's going to play. And look, I would lean towards, if I can get him out there and he could even just be a decoy in this game just for the speed aspect to open some things up a little bit, I would like to put him out there. And it's not like you're worried about, well, I mean, if we put him out there, there's a wide receiver that's not going to be on the active roster that we could potentially, we don't have that guy. So I just think if he's capable of at least being a decoy, I wouldn't have an issue. I know he's doubtful for this week, going to be questionable for next week, and has a much better opportunity to practice next week than he does, or play next week than he does this week. But if he's 50%, I'd stick him out there just to kind of have a decoy. I think you need as much as you possibly can against this Eagles team.
Well, we talked to Mitch Holthus earlier, and he said that, you know, Rashee Rice has been one of the biggest reasons that this offense has struggled, and he'll be the biggest, you know, strength when they get him back, and now they've lost their number two wide receiver.
Yeah.
I kind of have a weird feeling that he's going to suit up and get out there on Sunday. I don't know why. I just kind of have that feeling, man. We'll see, man. I think he's going to go out there. I think he's going to run some routes. Like you said, maybe it's just one catch, one target, but the decoy stuff, 4-2 speed, just the safeties have to account for that. They have to, and that'll leave everything else underneath open. I think there's a chance we see him play. I mean,
you feel comfortable him getting lined up against a DB, and then the 5 yards they can get, you know, a little aggressive before he can get out?
I think he just runs past everybody. That's the way I look at it. Just run, man, go!
And if we're doing the, you know, looking too far into things, his Instagram story yesterday, a picture of him in his Chiefs uniform, free one. Let's go. Free him, baby.
Well, I mean, look, so a lot of jet sweeps coming his way.
Yeah. I mean, you had a conversation with somebody yesterday about Worthy, too, that I had him call you in. So, like, the phone call that we got yesterday from some folks, like, you don't get those kind of phone calls if the guy's going to be out for a very long period of time.
Yeah.
You know?
What?
Was it Dr. Chow?
It was Dr. Chow. Yes, it
in
was.
In your face.
So I just think where he is right now, I mean, you know, I think he's as good a chance of playing as he doesn't. I mean, if you're going through practice and you're out there on the practice field, they're kind of expecting you to have an opportunity to play on Sunday. That's just kind of the way it works, especially if he's out there today practicing, which he will be. I know it's going to be a game time decision. They're going to walk around on the field. They're going to see what's going on. And then 90 minutes or whatever it is before the game when they have to announce the inactives, that's when we'll know if Xavier Worthy is playing or not in this game. And if you're the Chiefs as well, even if he's not playing and you know today that he's not playing, you don't tip your hand at all for the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm. Because the minute you say he's out, that's the minute the Philadelphia Eagles say, take that guy out of the game plan. Keep them preparing for people that may not be there. That's what the Chiefs have done for so many years. They're beating teams on Tuesday because they're over-preparing for things. Keep teams over-preparing, and then at the last second, if he can't go, then he can't go. But at least you made the Eagles waste time preparing for him this week.
I just don't think he's going to play. His shoulder's too hurt. He takes a hit. He's out for this. He's just not going to play. I don't think Philadelphia is going to prepare for him to play. Why would you? Right? Am I wrong in that, having that take? Like, why would the Eagles prepare for him to play? He's limited. I mean, if I'm Philadelphia, I'm going into the practice all week expecting him not to play. I really don't think he will play. If he does, great. But if he does play, what is the key factor that you have to prevent from him beating you? Like, do you really think Xavier Worthy could beat you if you're the Philadelphia Eagles?
Well, that's fine. If you want to let him go into a game and play and then you don't want to account for him, I'll sign up for that right now.
Because if what you guys are saying that he's a decoy, then if you guys are saying that, Philadelphia knows that, they're going to be like, if he wants to run down the field and they think that they can get him open with our defensive line that proved in the Super Bowl that they can't do anything against us, then yeah, let him be out there and play. Because I don't think they're going to use him as – I think they look at this and say smoke and mirrors. Like, yeah, that's cute that he's out there and he's doing high knees and he's dancing. I don't think they expect him to play. And I don't think him playing really affects their game plan, in my personal opinion.
It's like – having Steph Curry out there with a wrist injury, though. Like, if he's open on the three-point line, like, someone's got to close out, right?
Right.
At least for the first quarter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And until you see him brick one, or you know that he can't shoot at zero shot attempts in 20, whatever it is, then maybe you back off and forget about it. But for at least that first quarter, that first few plays, that first few drives, that's in your head.
I mean, if he comes out and lines up on the first play, you better account for Xavier Worthy. And if you don't, the Chiefs will take advantage of it. Like, Andy's not going to put him out there if they don't believe that he can help this team. Like, I think sometimes we, and I'll throw myself into this as well, we just assume, okay, they're just kind of sitting around throwing darts at times, whether or not a guy can play and, you know, rub some dirt on it and get back in there. But you also don't want to, you know, have the long-term injury. And so if he's not to a spot where they feel comfortable in putting him out there, they're not going to put him out there. And you know, the reports from, you know, just talking to people around the NFL about, you know, Worthy and whatnot is just, he looked as good as he possibly could after having that injury less than a week ago, right? Like, it's like, okay, I think people were more surprised than anything that he was out there doing his thing. And, you know, the more that he can practice, the more that he can show today, the more of an opportunity he's going to have to play on Sunday. I'd love to see him get out there and play on Sunday. I'd love to see him be a big part of this offense on Sunday. And even if he does play on Sunday, he's not a big part of the offense. He could still be a big part of the offense if he helps the running game get going as well, because he could probably still take a damn handoff, guys.
It's true.
I mean, the jet sweep is still a very, very big part of what he does. And you don't need to try to catch and have range of motion for that. Little pop pass right there in the middle, or a little flip over to the side, catch it and go. Your speed is not affected right now by your arm, you know? And so if the shoulder's bothering you a little bit, you're still one of the fastest guys in the NFL. Jet sweep this thing with Xavier Worthy. You got to utilize that speed, I think, against this defense.
I mean, we'll see. I'm just, you run that jet sweep, you're risking that he's going to come around that corner, and then there's Cooper DeJean, there's some sort of safety.
There's a DN, there's a linebacker.
But there's jet sweep on every play for every player,
for sure,
though. You know?
I understand that, Bob, and we've said this all week, but every player does not have the injury currently that Xavier Worthy has. Like, if Xavier Worthy gets blasted on that shoulder and it aggravates it more, you're looking at an extended injury. Whereas, like, if you keep him out of that situation, you're letting that heal. Yes, I understand that every player can get hit. Every player can get destroyed. That's the NFL. We watched it last night. Jaden Reed goes up for a catch, falls on his shoulder, broken collarbone, out 6 to 8 weeks. This guy is fragile right now. He's in bubble wrap, and if he gets hit significantly, it extends that injury longer. That's where my point is. Yes, I understand everybody can get hurt and everybody gets hit, but he is currently right now damaged goods, and that hit would significantly hurt it worse than it already is.
And I think, yeah, and I get where you're coming from, too. We had a text about it, too. Like, I want to save him for that Ravens game in a couple weeks. Like, that's a huge game. So I get that as well. You don't need him maybe as much for week three in the Giants. We're already here for the Eagles game, and it just happened. Maybe you do play it safe, but...
I'm also against looking ahead, though. Like, you can't prepare for something that's not already here, right? You can't prepare for the Ravens and think about the Ravens until you get past
Philadelphia.
Yeah,
I mean, we got two games to go before we get to the Ravens,
right? I mean, this game is bigger than the Ravens game.
This game is much bigger than the Ravens game. Much bigger. Absolutely.
In what way?
It's the next one.
Okay, gotcha. In that way,
yeah. You
start off 0-2. Yeah.
And that Ravens game is not as big as you think, because then the Ravens might be, you know, 2-1.
I mean, and at that point, you're probably 1-2. You're looking to get back to 500 again. Like, this is a very significant game.
I just think AFC, it's kind of...
I understand what you're saying, but this is next. You go 0-2, and you know immediately how people are going to be, right? Season's over, when spring training, the Royals can get back. Like, people will have that negative take. It'll all be just a negative, negative attitude around here.
Monday will be tough.
It'll be hard. They need this game to change the attitude. For whatever reason, a team that's been to 5 Super Bowls in 7 years and 7 straight AFC championship games, they need to change the image around for a lot of people around locally and nationally as well. And that's why I say, I think for themselves, they need to see this success. And so I think this game is so important right now. That Ravens game in week four, I mean, you start 0-2, 0-3. Nothing, you know, come week four. So you got to get this one. You got to do everything you can to win this game, to make that Ravens game truly, really matter.
So Ravens play the Browns this week. They play
the Browns terribly. They lost to them last year. Just saying, every year it's close. You'll see. I mean, every
division
year.
Division games, man.
Yeah, it's every
They're
year.
Funky.
Next week they play the Lions. The Ravens could easily just be 1-2, just like the Chiefs could be in week four. Well, also, you guys are right. It is 2 weeks away. This game, because it is next, it's more important.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
I get that.
You can't look ahead in the NFL because, look, we're only through 1 week in a game of the NFL season, and how much has our perception of what we thought a week ago at this time changed, right? For a lot of people, right? For certain teams, like, I'm sure there's a lot of people off Washington right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
People like me, I'm looking at Green Bay going, man, maybe I did sleep on the Green Bay Packers. I think there are a few people that were probably on the Lions because, oh, they're the Lions and they're going to be good. And now realizing, oh my God, the Lions are a hot mess right now. So the perception changes so much week to week in this league. And that's why you just got to focus on what's here right now. And that's the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't care what's next week. I don't care 2 weeks. If we don't take care of business on Sunday, I don't want to know where we're going to go in 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
What percentage of the fan base do you think is completely out if they lose on Sunday and say, it's not
early? Well, I'll go with the 6% of people that we saw were on Twitter back in the day that were listeners of the radio station. So I will say 6%.
Completely out, like, nope.
Just not happening. I have to wait till next year.
And I really feel bad for those people because if you're in that group that it's over. They are. But, like, is that a spoiled fan or is that just a nitwit?
Probably a little bit of both.
It's both.
It's both. 0-2 is tough with the schedule. I'm not going to say people shouldn't be negative if they lose this game, especially depending context matters how they lose this game. I'll go 15%, maybe even 20.
So you think it's that high?
One of every 5 Chiefs fans you talk to, it's just not this year. Yeah, I could see that.
Wow.
Saying they're right. I'm just...
No, I know, but let me see if I can phrase this the right way. I would hate to be that person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
F that.
I mean, they're the, you know, I mean... Because, look, I mean, if there's ever going to be a team that can rally down 0-2, it's going to be the Chiefs.
Exactly.
Because, until they prove to me that they can't do something, then I don't want to see them be told that they can't do it.
Right.
It's like Mahomes is an underdog at home. I know he's lost that game before, but not very often has Patrick Mahomes been an underdog at home. And also...
One time?
I think it was twice is what we heard from
the second time.
So Buffalo, that game. And if you want to give an excuse, I'll give you one. They would have won that game if Kadarius Toney is onside.
Yep.
100%.
And that's an underdog game. They won that game. It's Kadarius Toney's offsides. Again, still a loss, still the underdog, but I get it. They lost that game. This is another time where, you know, I get it that first week. It sucked. It was in Brazil. They lost the Chargers division game. Matt just brought up the Browns and the Ravens always play close. Mm-hmm. The Browns and the Cincinnati Bengals played close. Yep. Joe Burrow had 2 passing yards in the second half against the Browns.
He had that many. Wow.
Yeah. And so
MVP.
And now you have a game in which this is a team that is not in the AFC, but damn it, it sure the hell feels like it. with how much hate this team has for Philadelphia, how much time these fan bases. We had a guy text in earlier that says he's coming into a flight from MCI. Over 20 plus Eagles fans on his
flight. A lot of people from Philly are coming in. Yeah.
They are coming.
Yeah,
man.
No, there are a lot of people. I mean, we met people at the Super Bowl that were already planning their trip to Kansas City for the game this year, you know, and that's before the Super Bowl even happened. And I'm all for welcoming fans in. If they misbehave, I will text that text line at Arrowhead and have them escorted out. I don't have a problem doing that. But
you're going to be the new PA announcer.
Well, that is true, and I will start calling Eagle fans out. By the way, I am available for the Chiefs if you want me to announce the game.
Every
just
interception
call.
That gets thrown by the opposing team, BBL Stinky.
BBL Stinky. I would be great on the mic at Arrowhead. I should be the PA guy at Arrowhead. I really should. I don't think there's anybody that would be better than me on the mic at Arrowhead. That's a first down, MFers. Let's go. In the face. You know, like, I would be outstanding. They need to hire me.
In your face.
Yeah. Let's go. What were we talking about before that? Oh, this game. This is a big rivalry game, too. Like, I don't think people really realize, like, this may be, we talk about the rivals all the time. This may be the one, guys. It's split 2-2. You beat each other in the postseason. This is game five. There isn't a liking at all on either side for either team, right? Like, I think Chiefs fans at the end of the day and Bills fans understand each other and get each other and kind of like each other, right? Cincinnati fans can F off. Philadelphia, though, they live up to their end of the bargain. It's 2-2. Not many people have a 2-2 record against Patrick Mahomes as a starting quarterback in this league.
Somebody said Bink would be a hell of a PA guy.
Pizza cutter.
Let me tell you something about spitting, Jalen Carter. You don't really a true spitter until you put a pinch of Copenhagen in your bottom lip. Speaking of Bink, there's a big few college slate games this weekend. Mac, you can take it away because your boys at Rocky Top have a big one against them Bulldogs and Kirby Smart at 2:30 on ABC, I believe.
Tennessee hosts Georgia in this one, so it's not between the hedges, right?
No, it's at the Rocky Top, baby.
2:30 on ABC. My daughter told me this week her dream place to go is to Tennessee because she's a Vols fan. I said, okay.
Let's go.
She's just in love with Mac.
Come on. I mean,
she likes the stadium. She likes the Rocky Top. She likes the singing that they do. Is there some sort of Dolly Parton song maybe that gets sung there?
She a Morgan Wallen fan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, there's another layer to the cake.
Exactly. That's it. Yeah. No, yeah, it's going to be great. 2:30. I mean, I think.
By the way, did you see Morgan Wallen walk out with Jose Bautista and his wife? Bautista's wife was filming, and he did the Bautista bat flip and threw it right in her face.
Oh,
she was
I did see that. Yes.
Where was that?
It was in Toronto. Yes. He was walking out with Bautista, and Bautista gives him a bat. And he's standing with his back to Batista's wife. He does a fake swing and then throws the bat like Batista did. Hit Batista's wife.
Hit her?
Hit her!
Oh, yeah, she was filming. I mean, that bat goes straight to the camera.
Oh, no. Is she hurt?
I didn't hear anything, so I assume she's fine. I assume.
You mean you get hit in the face with a bat?
And I mean, it wasn't a gentle toss.
No, he was doing it. Full out.
Talk about them cowgirl. Boom!
Oh, my God.
I'll show you the video. It's crazy.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, I still think the Vols are favored by 3.5 in this game, which is wild. Makes me nervous, but yeah, I'm excited, dude.
It's a home game.
It's a home game.
Night game.
There's questions with 2:30, night-ish, I guess, afternoon. There's questions with Gunnar Stockton, Georgia's QB, so maybe that's part
Gunner,
of it, too.
Gunnar
Stockton.
Guy Fieri's quarterback.
Boomer Esiason's son is Gunnar. Guy Fieri's son, you mentioned, Gunner.
I think it's Hunter and Gunner.
Oh, yeah, I could be wrong. I think you're right.
At least it's not Caden, Braden, Jaden.
Yeah, but with Hunter, a name Gunner, like Gunner, you got to be a quarterback.
We were plus 3.5. I read that wrong. We weren't minus 3.5. We're plus 3.5, which has now gone up to plus 4.5.
So let's go.
So you guys are huge underdogs.
What's Tennessee on the money line?
Plus 152.
There's my bet, baby.
Yeah, that's lovely. Two passing touchdowns.
Two units?
That and two passing touchdowns for Aguilar. Let's go.
Ooh, I like that.
You're
plus
calling for
152?
A Tennessee straight-up win, Mac?
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm taking Georgia.
Thanks, Bob.
From the 816, rivalries don't exist in the NFL, bro. Okay. NFL fans don't have the passion or heart. Anyways, back to Tennessee and Georgia.
That guy's
they're
a different. Bull. They're different. That doesn't mean they don't exist. It's
different.
Ridiculous.
Yes, they change in the NFL based on what's going on, you know. You don't have your cans like this week.
Let me know when Max Crosby and Patrick Mahomes play each other this year and see if there's a rivalry there.
I mean, come on. There's rivalries in professional sports, but don't get mad at me. I have no idea who Missouri and Kansas are playing this week because last week was such a high of having them play each other. And then this week, I'm like, doesn't matter anymore because it's a rivalry. It's a different rivalry than in sports in the professional level.
What do you mean you don't know how Missouri is playing? They play at noon against like Louisiana Technical Institution.
Oh, they do?
The Raging Cajuns, baby.
Yeah, dude. It's something like that. It's something Louisiana. Is it?
It's the Louisiana Raging Cajuns at noon, baby, on ESPN Plus.
That's why I don't know who they're playing.
They're favored by 27.5 points. You don't know
Holy cow.
You don't know who KU's playing because they don't play this week.
Oh, so. Okay. Good.
Give me the idol. Throw me the whip. Give me the idol. Throw me the whip.
But I think for the locals, I mean, this is it for K-State. People talk about the Royals and whether or not they're done and going to be eliminated from the postseason. K-State.
At Arizona tonight.
Tonight.
Tonight. Mm-hmm. 8 p.m. on Fox.
They're the only local that has a big game this weekend, and they're the only local that's got to win. I mean, Raging Cajuns versus a bye, you know, obviously. But, like, K-State, Dusty and I were kind of talking in break, like, this is a kind of a scary situation because your basketball program ain't any good anymore. Your football program just lost to Army.
Yeah.
The Natives got to be restless in Manhattan, Kansas.
There's also a solid one as well as you have South Florida going to Miami. That game's going to be sick. That game's at 3:30.
The South Florida awesome. Team that beat Florida that dropped in the rankings.
Yeah, that South went up in the rankings. Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot going on. And, you know, sometimes
so
you're
busy. You didn't do your job.
But it doesn't really matter. It all evens out.
So South Florida in Miami. That game at 3:30, so yes. Halftime of the Vols game, boom. Flip right over there.
100%.
That game goes to the end of the first quarter. You go back to Rocky Top. You go pivoting back and forth between those two games.
Ooh, it's on the CW network, too.
Yeah, dude.
C-Dub. The big network with that game.
We need a B-Dub network. And then you got Then you have Texas A&M at Notre Dame. That's a solid game this week.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
You rooting for the Aggies?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Golden Giggum, baby. Domers.
Yes.
Let's go.
Come on.
Let's go, Notre Dame.
Oh, what the hell?
Let's go.
You just like that coach.
I love the coach.
I do. I mean,
but my friend Gene's also a big Notre Dame fan, and so he'll be at the game.
Gene who?
Watson.
Watson! Yes!
He'll be at the game, so... and look, I will not root for the Aggies of Texas A&M over my dead body. I'm a Texas Longhorn.
Ugh.
No, come on.
Also,
what
do we think about Wisconsin going to Alabama?
That'd be fun, man.
That's a fun game.
Fun.
It's a great, great name, yeah. Great name game.
Yeah, what's the... So I guess... Wisconsin will be in the whites. It's an interesting uni matchup.
That's an 11 o'clock game. Alabama, 21.5. You want to lay some cheddar on Wisconsin to cover 21.5?
I like that.
Is that. Who's coaching? It's not that Bielema guy coaching Wisconsin. Bueller?
Bielema or whatever. I don't know.
Who is coaching Wisconsin these days?
Drew Nixon.
Is it Freddie No Fingers? So like some guy they got from Oshkosh? Put down your light beer. Put out that light cigarette. Lay off the curds. Come coach the football team. Mm. Okay.
Luke Fickell,
that's right, Ohio State guy.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's right. And then Florida at LSU. So,
wow, is that a nighter?
It is a 6:30.
That's huge for Florida.
In the Grow Field, Grow Tigers. Shout out to Tyron Matthew.
It is down there at the swamp.
Not the swamp, but the bayou.
Oh my God, why can't I think of the name?
I know we're all struggling right now.
The Roundhouse of Rebound.
No, that's Charles.
That's Charles Barkley.
The Bayou. Isn't that what they call it? Just the Bayou? Well,
yeah, but there's a name for the stadium.
Yeah.
Damn it. Raging Cajuns.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They'll be down there in the flesh.
The Pitt is Clemson. LSU is Death Valley.
There you go.
Yes, thank you, Death Valley. My gosh, that's embarrassing.
And then if you want to hammer an under this week, UMass at Iowa, the over-under's 35.5.
UMass at Iowa. What'd you say, the under?
Dumas at Iowa. Yeah, the under is 35.5.
Yeah, I take the under.
Yeah, of course you would.
Has Iowa scored a touchdown yet this 10-7.
Year? 10-7. That'll be the final score of that game.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.